You know, there's so much to Christmas that we don't think about. And we stop and we look at this manger and we realize that that is actually what Christmas is all about, that it starts there. That's where BC was split into AD. That's when God came to earth to meet man. It all starts here. And I think sometimes Christmas can get so busy that we forget about it. But that's where things started. Ironically, I'm going to start with a verse in Scripture that is 700 years before the manger. Back in the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Isaiah, and it was during a very dark time in Israel's history. And he was getting some revelation from God about what was going to happen for the nation of Israel and how it would affect all mankind. So Isaiah has this telescope into the future, and here's what he sees. It's in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He says, "Unto us a child is born, a son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So we say that Christmas started at the manger, but really, we're going to start 700 years before the manger when Isaiah's looking into the future, and when he sees God coming to earth to save us, he doesn't see this mighty king. He doesn't see the Prince of Peace. He doesn't see Jesus, you know, coming riding on a lightning bolt surrounded by armies of angels. He sees a baby. When God would come to earth, he would come as a baby. And the baby in that manger would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This baby would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus was and still is today wonderful, full of wonder. Matthew records it that we are to call him Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. That God is no longer far away. God's not in some space, cosmic, time continuum. He didn't need a flux capacitor to get here. He's not so far away. He is Emmanuel. He's God, but he's right here with us. And we named this service today the Wonder of Christmas. Bro, there's so much about this story that makes me wonder. There's so much about that manger that makes me wonder. The whole Christmas story makes me wonder. The virgin giving birth to a child? Are we just going to pass over that and not wonder what's going on there? The wonder of the manger, which we'll talk about in a minute. The wonder of the angels that came to the shepherd. The wonder of the star that the three kings followed. Fast forward to the end of Jesus' ministry and his time on the earth. The wonder of the cross. The wonder of the empty tomb. Bro, there's so much about Christmas that I wonder about. Let's talk. I don't have time to get into the whole story because we're not doing childcare for toddlers and elementary age. So some of you parents are willing me to go super short today, and I will. We've all been there when you come to church and you're like, "Hey, it's a family service. We want all the kids in with this." And you're like, "Awesome. Should have stayed home and watched the live stream. Here we go, kids. I will choke you if you are bad in church." Isn't that how we celebrate Christmas? Some of you right now are... I'll keep it brief, but I want to talk about the manger. Let's read the Luke version from the Bible where Luke talks about the manger. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. Now, I remind you, Joseph and Mary, they had to go down to Bethlehem because it was a census. So Mary's pregnant, but they go all the way down to Bethlehem. And it says in verse 6, while they were there, the time came for that baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, and she laid him in a manger. Now, a manger is a feeding trough because there was no room for them, no lodging available. This makes me wonder because we always picture a wooden, clean, brand new 1x4s from Home Depot manger, fresh, soft hay that somebody has manicured to just hang over the edges so perfectly. Mary had a diffuser with essential oils to keep her calm and peaceful. Babies today are obviously, you know, usually mostly born in hospitals where everything is clean, everything is sterile, and everything is super bright. And the doctors and the nurses, everyone's wearing masks and gloves to protect the baby. You got to make room for the baby, protect the baby. They're not going to need germs on the baby. But here we lay the king of the universe in a feeding trough. Why were they in the stable to begin with? Because there was no room in any of the hotels. You know, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, the whole surrounding area was packed There was no place for them to stay. And Joseph, he was a young dad. He didn't quite think ahead. He didn't have the money to book online at a real hotel. And he thought he could just get an Airbnb at the last minute, but there was too late. There was no room. You know Mary had something to say about that, by the way. Pushing that baby out in a barn. She's like, Joe, for real? You couldn't have found us like a one-star, somebody's couch we could have done this on? We have to be up in this barn? Imagine, if you will, like you're in Dallas. It's Super Bowl weekend, and we're not going to have an ice storm, and the Super Bowl is at Jerry World, and the Final Four is at the AAC, and there's a concert at Verizon with Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and even Adele is going to tour again. There ain't no hotel rooms. So Joe talks somebody into letting him use their barn. He's like, hey, my wife's pregnant. I think it's time. Can we just stay in your barn? So they make a little room in the barn. The king of the universe, born in a barn and laid in a feeding trough. Bro, this makes me wonder. I remember about 10 years ago, I was on a video crew and we were filming a documentary of a huge dairy. They milked 3,000 head of cattle twice a day. The intensity of the smell, modern day dairies, you know, they'll line up 1,000 cows and they're eating out of one end while being milked from the bottom and being evacuating out the back. It's church, so I had to be careful what I said. It's gross. The smell was just hard to describe, but it's like it stuck to you. And the humidity in the milking barn, it made it just wet. Like, it felt like you could taste the smell in the room. I'm not going to lie. My jacket that day, I put it in the closet. A couple days later, it was cold. I went to grab my jacket. I pulled my jacket out. It still smelled like barn stank. It just had that grossness. And that's where the king of the universe was born. We think about a manger, you know, this new 1x4 from Home Depot, clean. The edges have been sanded down to make sure some kids don't, you know, catch a splinter when they're with the. That's not the way mangers were. It was a feeding trough. And in Israel, there wasn't a lot of wood. If you think about it, even when they built the temple in Jerusalem, they had to get wood from Lebanon. Like, Israel's just not known for wood. So mangers, feeding troughs in those days would not have been made out of wood. They would have been made out of stone. They would have taken a stone and then hewn out where they could put the food and the hay. This is actually a photo of a manger that they found in Israel from ancient time. And can I tell you something? You can't Clorox wipe the edge of that too well. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be some stank. There's going to be some snot. There's going to be some gross on the edges of that thing. Now, Mary's a young mom. She did the best she could. But at the end of the day, that thing was gross. And she put in some fresh hay and she wrapped that baby in strips of cloth, and she put the king of the universe in a dirty feeding trough. This makes me wonder what God was thinking. Years later, the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to one of his disciples, a guy named Timothy. He was pastoring a church. And Paul writes this letter in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says, bro, Tim, without question, the greatest mystery of our faith is that Christ was revealed in a human body. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by the angels. He was announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world. And then he was taken up into glory in heaven. The Creator became the created. Paul said to Timothy, this is the greatest mystery of our faith. Paul saying, this makes me wonder. It should make us all wonder. Why would God choose to come to earth through a teenage girl, born into poverty, no room to stay, born in a barn, and then his first night he slept in a feeding trough? Doesn't that make you wonder? We should just step back from the story and be struck with awe and wonder. You know, we're not the only ones that might be filled with wonder. Mary and Joseph and the animals in the stable, they wouldn't be the only ones struck with wonder that night. We read that there was two other groups, the shepherds, and then later the three kings. They were struck with wonder about the birth of Jesus. Let's talk about the shepherds. Shepherds, these weren't the most educated, socially acceptable people in society. Like, you know how every utensil drawer has steak knives and butter knives? I'm just saying, these guys weren't too sharp. Like, they were like, oh, you should be a shepherd. Like, that's what their high school guidance counselor led them to do. Like, you should leave town for months and months at a time and hang out with animals. That's going to be good for you. So this is like the poor, the broken, the strung out, the people that don't function well in normal society. But this is the group of people that God revealed himself to that Jesus had been born. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says that that night there were shepherds. They were staying in fields nearby. They were guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. He said, guys, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You're going to recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly, the angel was then joined by a vast host. I don't know, hundreds, thousands, millions of angels. The army of heaven was praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Verse 9 said that the shepherds were terrified. Other translations say that they were filled with wonder. I would be filled with wonder at that scene. And why do you think, I wonder, why did God pick the shepherds to be the first ones to announce that Jesus had been born? I think it's for this, that Jesus came for the common man. Jesus came for the down and out. Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for the addict. Jesus came for the homeless. Jesus came for everybody. He was trying to say that the Messiah is here to introduce the common man to an uncommon God. Not just the poor, not just the down and out. We see the story of the three kings, the wise men. These guys came from the east because they saw a star and they recognized that God was up to something. So they followed that star. Now, can I point something out to you? Wouldn't we assume that it wasn't just three people on earth that saw the star, but that maybe that the entire world could see it? Millions of people on the earth at that time saw the star, but only three guys are recorded as going, hey, I think God's up to something. Let's follow that thing to Bethlehem. See, I think at this time of year, all of us see mangers. We see nativities. We see that obviously Christmas is about Jesus's birth. But we totally miss it. We see it, but we don't see it. I'm asking you this Christmas, do you have eyes to see what God is doing? Because these three were awestruck and they wondered what God was doing. So they followed that star to Bethlehem to give gifts, to give money, to give gold to this baby. Are we still awestruck 2,000 years ago at what Jesus did? Because are we hoping, are we looking, are we expecting God to do something wonderful in our lives? Full of wonder. Because too often we've lost our expectation. We treat Christmas the same every year. We go up into the attic, we go into the closet, we pull out the same lights, the same garland, the same junk for the tree. We do the same thing year after year. And we miss the significance of what happened in that manger 2,000 years ago. The Hallmark Channel and Netflix Christmas movies and Buddy the Elf are hoping that we don't forget the magic of Christmas. And I'm a preacher over here going, have you forgotten the wonder of the manger? The wonder of Jesus' birth? The wonder of God coming from heaven to the earth? Have we forgotten and the wonder of the power of God? Have we forgotten the wonder of the cross? The wonder and the power and the significance of that empty tomb? I'm telling you, church, we can't miss what God is doing this Christmas. Funny thing, people make me laugh. They're so funny. We always want more. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, we want more of it, right? Like, how many of you would like more Christmas presents this year than you got last year? Okay, two woos and three hands. The rest of y'all are liars. You absolutely want more. Whatever, even if you got one Christmas present, you want 100% increase on last year. You want more. We all do. But if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the baby in the manger, our lives are often full of insecurity and fear and loneliness and depression and anxiety and addiction. And then we're like, yeah, I want more. You want more of that? I don't want more of the emptiness of life. Take the three kings, for example. These guys had wealth, they had power, they had influence, and they're like, yeah, I don't want more of life. I feel like God is up to something with that star. So I'm curious. I'm going to follow. I'm going to look. I'm going to search and see what God is doing. I want more, but I don't want more money. I don't want more power. I don't want more safety and security. I want more of what God is doing. So the wise men went searching. I'm telling you, if you would be like the wise men and search for Jesus, you will not only find him, but he will give you more. He'll give you more of his life, more of his peace, more of his joy, more of his faith, more blessing in your life. We need to look at him with expectation and with wonder. I remember it's been, golly, you know, 20 years. My daughter was born and I held her with arms of wonder that this child that had been cooking in mom's belly for 9 months is now in my arms. But nothing was as wonderful than when my son was born 3 years later. And my now 3-year-old daughter is holding in her arms her baby brother. The look of wonder on the face of a child looking at an infant who had been in mommy's tummy and is now in my arms. I'm telling you, we can't get so mature and so old and so set in life that we don't look to Jesus, to look to the manger with that level of wonder and awe of what God did to come to the earth. At the very beginning of this service, Joelle, she opened this service from quoting that line from a worship song from a few years ago that says, may we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder, wide-eyed and mystified. May we be just like a child staring at the beauty of a king. This Christmas, I double dog dare you to examine your heart. Do you still have the awestruck wonder of what God did by coming to earth as a baby 2,000 years ago? Are you still looking like the wise men for more and more of him? Because wise men still seek Jesus. Think about the manger. Think about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, leaving the wonder and the beauty of heaven, coming to the earth and not being born to a wealthy family, not being born to a royal family, being born to a poor family, so poor that they would end up giving birth to him in a barn. That makes you wonder, how much does God actually love you? How much does God love you? We're going to take a moment right here. Christy's going to sing Away in a Manger. I want you to take a few moments. Just search your heart for the wonder of Jesus' birth. Why don't you pop up on your feet? I want to read a couple of more verses of scripture and then we're going to pray. You know, that night that Jesus was born, that new young couple, they wrapped that baby in strips of cloth and they put him in that feeding trough. They put him in that manger. He filled it. That thing that was dark, that thing that was cold, that thing that was dirty, the King of the universe filled it. You know, if we don't know Jesus, or maybe we're not churchy church people, we just kind of came because we got invited, or it's Christmas and it's Texas. You know, we go to church on Christmas and Easter, right? And you might look at your heart and you might think, bro, I'm not really a churchy guy. I'm not, Jesus isn't my thing. My heart's not all clean and full of light. There's parts of our heart that's broken, that's dark, that's wounded, that's full of fear. And we think, I don't know that Jesus would fit in my heart. Can I tell you something about your heart? You're right, it's totally broken. Jeremiah agrees. He said the human heart, it's the most deceitful of all things. The human heart is desperately wicked. In fact, who knows how bad it really is. So without Jesus, yeah, our hearts, they're a mess. Without Jesus, our manger's a mess. But I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago, Jesus filled a dirty manger. He ain't scared of your heart. He'll come and he'll fill your heart with light and life, and he'll forgive you of your sin. He'll remove that darkness and that unbelief. He'll cut down on that anger, that loneliness, that depression. Your heart is not such a mess that Jesus can't come and give you the gift of eternal life this Christmas. He ain't scared. In fact, the Bible says he wants to come into our heart and make us white as snow. The Apostle Paul was telling another church, a church in Ephesus, when he said this, Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him. And the more you do, your roots of faith, they will grow down deep. Where are they going to grow down into? God's love. And that's going to keep you strong. Sometimes if we're not church people, you know, we look at church and the Bible and we look at all these scriptures and prophets and Old Testament, New Testament, and you're like, yeah, I don't really know all that theology. Bro, Genesis to Revelation, I can make it super simple. I can take the most complex theology and boil it down to one line from a children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the manger tells me so. It's not that hard. He went to extreme lengths to demonstrate his love to you. Can I let you in on a little Christmas secret? I'm gonna give you a Christmas present early. God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. God loves you. That's why he came. John said it this way. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but will receive, will live in, will walk in eternal life. Here's another little Christmas present. Jesus isn't a baby anymore. He grew up. He took your sin and my sin to the cross. He died. And then he was raised to life to defeat sickness and death and hell and the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of God and he's leaning over the banister of heaven saying, come on, man, today is your day to soften your heart and make room for me. Let me talk to you a minute. You might think, preacher, I've heard this before. I heard an old Billy Graham thing. I was watching Kanye on YouTube and I heard what Joel Osteen said a few weeks ago. I heard it before. You're going to hear it again right now. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He wants to forgive you of your sin. Come into your heart. Make his home in your heart so that you'd never be alone and you'd never be bound up by sin and all the gross things of life. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Father in heaven, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to see the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of your birth, the wonder of the manger, the wonder of the cross. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just talk at you for a minute. If you're here this morning and you would be honest with God and say, I am not right with God. There's sin in my life that has separated me from God. And you want to get right with God. I want to lead you in a prayer here in just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd be honest and say, okay, I was raised in church. I used to walk with God. I used to believe. Maybe I went to kids camp or youth camp with the church. My grandma took me to church. I've heard this before. I've prayed this before. But your heart has grown cold. You've kind of walked away. But you're right now, your heart's beating out of your chest. Because God is saying, today is your day to get right again. So whether it's the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to lead you in a prayer. You're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to pray it. But I'll lead you in that prayer to repent of your sin and to believe that Jesus is Lord. So whether it's the first time in a long time, I'd like to know who I'm praying for. Would you raise your hand up real high and say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. 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 Anybody else? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And I see your hand over there. You know, you might wonder why everybody just starts shouting and I act like a crazy person. Because I am. I live for one thing. And that moment just happened. To see people that are far from God come running to the Lord. That's why I do what I do. Let's pray. But here's the deal. I can lead you, but you gotta pray. You gotta believe it in your heart. You gotta do business with God. And maybe you were too chicken to raise your hand, but you wanna pray. Latecomers can pray this prayer too. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, Please forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe in the wonder of the manger, the wonder of the cross, the wonder of heaven. You are God. You are good. You are real. And I love you so much. Thank you for the gift of forgiving of me of my sins. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, what you say? Amen, 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 amen. You know, if you're visiting with us this morning, you might think, man, these people are kind of crazy. They're like Jesus freaks. Yeah, I'm totally bananas for Jesus. I'm a total Jesus freak. And we have a place for you here. Every Sunday, we'd love for you to get plugged into our church. Whether you go to our church or maybe you're visiting from out of town, we would like to have one of our pastors follow up with you. For the 8, 9, 10 of you that raised your hand and prayed that prayer, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you prayed it and you meant it. And the seat back in front of you is our Connect card. Over the next few minutes, there's no hurry, I want you to pull out a Connect card, fill it out, and at the end of the service, we're going to take up an offering. Just drop it in that bucket when it goes by. I want one of our pastors to get in touch with you and love on you and help give you some tools to help you in your walk of faith. At the very end of service, we're going to have people up here at the front. They're going to pray. If you need prayer for any reason, or if you are one of those people, come on down to the front, hand them your card, and let's pray together. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Can you imagine how happy Jesus is that you took this moment, you took 5 minutes to get all that sin washed out of your life, to believe in the wonder of Jesus, the wonder of Christmas? Well done. You did good, kid.